to North Carolina. His church was really a help to bringing in supplies and getting them ready. Appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Amen. Amen. That's
praying here.
Love Brother Bill. I just sit there and think about when he's singing that song back at our church that the Bible says that when he shall come, when he shall come, he shall not tarry. Amen. And we've been waiting a long time, yes, but I was thinking about Paul of old, man. He thought Jesus was coming in his day, and here we are all these years later. Well, I don't have time to ramble around through here. I tried to be sensitive to the time, but I want to really be a blessing to somebody and help somebody. I've always thought that would be my job as a preacher and a pastor, to preach something that would help people, not to straighten them out, not to fix them, but just to get them to be blessed in their heart. And I always thought what the best thing that I could ever do for the Lord is be a vessel of honor unto him and to help somebody. I appreciate you, Brother Roger. Appreciate the love that we share and the God that put us together. It's great. And I got some good friends around here, and I thank God for them. Y'all pray for me. I am a little nervous. I don't know why I'm nervous. I'm probably one of the oldest ones in here, and I still get nervous when I'm going to preach. And I think it's just something that comes natural, right? In Psalm 42, if you have your Bible there, I'd like to read a few verses and preach from this text. Psalm 42, if you'd like to stand again, in case somebody gets real long, I'm going to try to be real short. I was trying to time my message out, Brother Roger, a little earlier before Bill got over to the house there, and I was trying to, and every time I start doing it on my phone with the timer, you know, and I got right here and I'm going, I'm getting about a little bit of it done, and my son's out working somewhere and he's texting me, and I said, well, hold on. Okay, I'll try it again in a minute. So if I get long, it ain't because I'm not trying to get long, right? Okay, Psalm 42, verse 1, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so painteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? And I remember these things. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude, I went with them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And who art thou? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for his help, for the help of his countenance. Thank you for standing. You be seated. And I do have a King James Bible. I just can't see it real good right now. Okay. And let's pray. Father in heaven, I praise you and thank you, dear God, for the opportunity that I have to come and share what you have put on my heart for this great multitude of people. And Lord, I count anybody over three or four a great multitude when I'm preaching. Lord, I pray, God, I may preach to the right side over here more than I do to the left. I don't know. But God, I pray, Father, that you just bless me and help me, Lord, to honor you with my life. I pray, God, that you'd help me to die out to my sinful flesh and my carnal mind and come alive to the Spirit of God here just for a few minutes, Lord, to preach the Word of God with the love of God, that the power of God might work and help every heart and soul here today. We'll praise you and thank you for all that you decide to do here this morning or this afternoon. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Well, first of all, I want to say I love the book of Psalms. I've been out at Calvary Baptist Church for about 22 years now, going on 22. And I've been preaching from the book of Psalms on Wednesday night for about 17, 18 years of it. And I'm on Psalm 143 now, and I keep telling the church, now we're not in a hurry to get through the book of Psalms, because we're going to be preaching in the book of Psalms till Jesus comes, you know, and I just be aware of that, okay? So I love this psalm, but particularly this one written by the man after God's own heart, King David. And we know about David's trouble and his trials and his temptations and his failure on God and all that. But probably he was driven away or drawn away from the place of worship, which he loved very much, and he longed for that time to get back there. I love this psalm because I can relate to it in a very compassionate way. Amen. I know how it is, amen, to be seeking God and wondering if he's anywhere around. And it's easy for that to happen. I'll say more about that in a few minutes, but especially after reading, I'm compassionate about this psalm now after reading what Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote about in the introduction to this psalm. He said it here in this little quotation I'm going to do from him. It is the voice, this psalm, amen, it is the voice of a spiritual leader under depression, longing for the renewal of the divine presence of God, struggling with doubt and fear, but yet holding his own ground by faith in the living God. Let me give that to you again. It is the voice of a spiritual leader under depression, longing for the renewal of the divine presence of God, struggling with doubt and fears, but yet holding his ground by faith in the living God. I honestly believe that this psalm could be sung by many good Christians for whatever reason, like David was, no doubt his heart was broken, his soul was cast down, verse 5, and he asked, why art thou cast down, O my soul, why art thou disquieted in vain? And I was thinking when I was studying and preparing for this message today, I said, well, sometimes we just need to ask ourselves that. My soul, why art thou cast down? Why do you feel so lousy? Amen. You're a child of the King. You belong, royal blood flowing in your veins. And I think, man, I have been down and out more times than I like to try to remember. But after all the blessings and all the benefits that the Lord has bestowed upon me, and all the love that he has shown me, and all the times that he's rescued me from my enemy, number one enemy, Satan, in this flesh. And after all of the times that he's rested me when I was weary, all the times that he restored my strength when I was weak, and when we think of all that he has done, and all of the things that he's brought us from, and all the things that he's brought us through, amen, since we become one of his own. But when the new trouble comes, and doubt and discouragement and plagues, doubt and discouragement plagues our souls, amen, we'd still say with David, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Amen. I wonder how many preachers here today, amen, maybe pastors, preachers get by with a whole lot more than pastors can get by. Amen. But I wonder how many of you have ever been preaching and, man, you just got great liberty. Everybody's receiving you and the message that you have being delivered and have a great service right there in Sunday school and church, and have a great service and get in the car instead start home. And all of a sudden, something happens. Something, we can't explain it. Amen. I don't know. It must come out of hell, part of it, and part of it's from our own flesh, I guess. But I remember being at a church one time, and it happened more than once where I'm on my way home, and I thought, well, that was a great meeting. I had great liberty and great love. And then all of a sudden, I'm feeling down and discouraged. And And we don't really know how to explain that, but so we see what is happening here. David is talking to God to start with, and then David is talking to David part of the time, right? And so we see him here, and we see that it's happening. David's talking to himself, and he's trying to convince himself. Amen. At what we believe, and we still have to keep convincing ourselves. David is talking to himself. He's trying to convince himself that God hasn't changed. Amen. No matter what went wrong at church, no matter what went wrong in my mind and heart, God still has not changed. Amen. David said, I know he hasn't forsaken me. Amen. I know God hadn't forgiven, failed me. He's not forgotten me. Amen. He's still on the throne and I'm still one of his. Amen. But I wonder, why is my soul cast down? Why am I disquieted in vain? David says to David, then finally, hope thou in God. I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And now let me ask you, has God ever failed to show up when you needed him the most? The answer's no. All over the building, there's a resounding no. Amen. No, it didn't happen. It never happens that God don't show up when you need him the most. You just got to get thirsty for him, right? So the next time you're down and out and you're discouraged and you're defeated, hope thou in God. Quit wallowing in the doubt and get thirsty for God and watch him show up for you. Watch him show up, amen, with the strength that you need and the courage that you need and that you need to just keep on holding on. Amen. Holding your ground by your faith in God. Amen. Faith always works right when you put it in God, right? Amen. No doubt this again was written during the time of Absalom's rebellion when David was fleeing out of Jerusalem, not only to save himself and his family, but he was concerned about the city, Jerusalem, and he's fleeing away from his own son that was trying to dethrone him and even kill him, I guess. And in this psalm, David is being used to the Holy Spirit of God to teach us, amen, how to deal with disappointment and discouragement and depression and despair and how to cultivate a thirst for God in our hearts. Amen. You know what? You'll never be able to have revival till you get thirsty for God. You'll never have God show up and come and visit you unless you get thirsty for him. Amen. Here's the title of my message now. Being thirsty for God is the best remedy. Amen. When the hounds of hell are hounding you. Amen. And you feel like you're going under and you just got to remember, amen, that the thirst that you have for God, amen, is going to bring God's presence to you. Amen. And I'm glad for that this morning. Morning. Amen. This afternoon, discouraging thoughts, amen, of doubts and discouragements and thoughts of even giving up. Amen. What you're supposed to do, preacher, you're supposed to look up, look to him, amen, and love him and lift him up in your heart and soul, amen. I've told this many times. I got a wonderful wife of 53 years now, And I talk about sometimes, you know, how that we'll get mad at each other. We get kind of a little discrimination towards one another, something a little bit, amen. And I think, man, she quit talking to me, amen. She's really mad when she quits talking, right? And sometimes you think that's a good thing, but and I go upstairs, I get a little room upstairs, and I get up there and get in my little prayer place there and get to praying, and I say, Lord, thank God. Thank God for a good wife. Thank God for a faithful wife. Thank God for one that's true to you and true to me. And I thank God for that every time it ever happened. And you know what happened? I'm lifting him up. See, I'm praising him for my wife and my life and my family, my church and everything. And the more I lift him up, the more I get lifted up. And it just works like that, Brother Simpson. We know. Amen. We've been through that. A thirst for God will keep you focused on the Lord. A thirst for God, a thirst for God. The Lord focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that can satisfy a thirsty soul. For God will keep you, as long as God can keep us dependent on Him. For us to stay dependent on Him is the best thing for us to ever do in our life. Amen. For we need His fellowship. We need His closeness. We need Him working in us and through us and for us. It is when we become independent of the Lord and we start trying to do it on our own. Amen. We try to preach like somebody else. And we just love to preach like some of the mighty men of God that's sitting in this room here this evening. But I figured out a long time ago, I can't preach like nobody else. All I can preach, amen, is what God gives me, amen. It's when we become independent of the Lord, we get in trouble and we think other things can quench our thirst. Amen. But nothing quenches our thirst like being close to God and having fellowship with Him. Amen. I was thinking about what happened to the prodigal son. He thought, boy, he said, I'll just go out into the world and I'll live it up out there and everything will be okay. And I'll get my thirst quenched out there. I don't need my father anymore. I done wished he was dead because I asked him for my inheritance and he don't usually get inheritance till after the father's dead, right? And so the prodigal son took all of his substance and went out and wasted it all on righteous living and ended up in the hog pen. Amen. Would have fain fill his belly with the hush that the hogs did eat. Amen. And he got so hungry and so wore out and so broke. Amen. He said, I know that back at my father's house, amen, there's plenty to eat and then some. Amen. And he goes on and he said, well, he finally came to himself and he said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father. And I tell him, Lord, I tell him, Father, please, I sinned against God and I sinned in your sight. Just make me as one of thy hard servants. And he didn't realize, amen, that all the time it is gone and all the time that he was crying and trying to get up and get back to the Father's house, that the Father was still watching him, amen. And the Father was still longing for him to come home. And let me tell you, our Heavenly Father will do the same thing for us. When he got back and he started repenting of his sin, we know what happened, amen. He's dirty and defiled and messed up. But I noticed in that scripture that the Father never even asked him where he'd been and what he'd been doing. But he showed him mercy. Praise God for mercy this morning. I'm glad, thank God, when my soul's cast down and I'm disquieted in vain, I can find mercy at the throne of grace this morning. Amen. I love that verse in Hebrews chapter 4 in verse number 16 where he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. And I pray like this, Lord, we are a very needy people and I'm the one of the most needy people right here today. One of the most needy preachers, amen, that you've ever called to preach, amen. And I'm thirsting after you and I'm pleading, amen, our cause to you, Lord, and putting our hope in you, Lord. And how do you know that preacher that he's going to be watching for you? He's going to be waiting for you. Well, I got a little Bible on that too. In Luke 15 and verse number 4, amen, he said, what man of you, Jesus said, what man of you having 100 sheep and lose one and does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go and search for that one that was lost until he's found and he comes home and he's rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. He's rejoicing. In verse 7, the Bible says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You just got to get thirsty for God. Amen. A thirst for God. Amen. I'll keep you pleading for the for the presence of God. A thirst for God will keep you seeking Him for the power of God. A thirst for God will keep you faithfully going to church. Amen. When you get in church, amen, live for God and love Him. He's going to take care of you. I mean, we need a thirst of God every day for the peace of God to keep us faithfully proclaiming the gospel and keep us going back again and again. Amen. Maybe we got hurt somewhere down the road. Amen. Maybe somebody said something, amen, against us. Maybe something happened that brought doubt and discouragement and disappointment. Anybody ever had that? I've had it quite a few times. But one thing I learned here, amen, that David didn't just have it that one time. Amen. I was looking at that word thirsty, and over in just a few pages later after Psalm 42 in Psalm 63, our God, thou art my God. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Amen. And I go on over here to Psalm 143, where we've been studying the scripture on Wednesday night again. In verse number 5, he said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah, just pause right there and think about, you know, we think, man, we're the only one. Then we go back and we find David, amen, in Psalm 42. We find him again, 61. We find him again 100 chapters later, and he's still there. He's still thirsting after God. It's not that he didn't get satisfied when he got saved. Amen. I'm glad God saved, sealed, and satisfied us with His presence and His power. But we get down and out. Amen. And it's our old flesh that brings us down. And then we got a corrupt mind still. I'm glad, thank God, that one day I'll get a mind like Christ, and I won't ever doubt, and I won't ever be discouraged again or disappointed again. We need the thirst for the power of God in order to be faithful witnesses for God and to God. We need a thirst for God to help us keep the prosperity that God has given us, and to be the witnesses, to be faithful witnesses to the glory and the grace of God. But we also need a thirst for God for the one and only that can give us patience. Man, I don't like patience, amen. I ain't never had any. I tell my wife, she got all of them. I didn't get any, amen. But He's the only one that can give us patience to endure. And I'm not talking about holding out to the end, finally being saved. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the patience. He gives us patience, amen, to endure hardships and hard times, amen, that come our way. But praise God, they don't come to stay. Amen. I thank God for that. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul is bragging on the Thessalonica people. Amen. God, he's thanking God for the patience and faith in all your persecutions and all your tribulation and all the trials that you've been through that you have already endured. Amen. And then we remember the Lord Jesus told the disciples in John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But we can go back now over this text, and I'm going to be done here in just a minute or two. But you go back and think about the things of the peace and the power that we get from thirsting after God, the prosperity. And the number one thing is the presence of God. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. No matter, I preached at Mount Carmel Baptist Church where I was saved, called to preach, baptized, called to preach. And I was 41 years old when that happened. And I said, well, I was like Moses. He put Moses on the backside of the desert for 40 years before he got him, sent him back to preach to Pharaoh, right? And let his people go and all that. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about all the tribulations we've been through, and the Lord Jesus just steps out there and says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. So here we are. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, In verse number 3, Paul is preaching or training, teaching young Timothy. And he says to young Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Be a good soldier, amen, be a good soldier. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. That tells me hardness is going to come. It comes, it just keeps coming. Amen. I think, man, I'm done over the hump now. I don't have to worry about getting hurt. Don't have to worry about getting down and out. And it still comes, oh, it still comes. Amen. And we think about that and we say, well, he says, I lost my place here. Do you know what happens to a good soldier? A good soldier that does endure hardness. Amen. And he's a good soldier is still faithful. Amen. No matter what's going on. And I know many of you have probably been like me. Amen. You go home sometime, you're discouraged. Every time I preach a message and I think the altar's going to fill up, they don't nobody come. Sometime I slutter and slumber around all over the place and don't make any sense. Amen. And God's making sense out of it all the time. And the people come down. Amen. So I know it's not me. It's just got to be Him. Amen. So you know what a faithful soldier, endure hardness is a good soldier, is one that no matter what, he still stays faithful to God. I went home on Sunday evening, amen, down and out, disquieted in vain, and get in my prayer closet and pray for a little while and go back on Sunday night. Amen. For nearly 22 years, Brother Gary's been down the long road with us a lot of times. But thank God, amen. It does not matter, amen. A good soldier, I did get to post it out on Fort Benning, Georgia, and out in Vietnam for about 10 months out there. And a family member died, and I got to come home a couple of months early. And anyway, out there, and we said, you know, when we were stationed on a post, we didn't dare leave that post. They next time the captain's going to come, the drill sergeant, he's going to come, somebody is going to come. Amen. You got to stay on your post no matter what the weather is. Amen. No matter what the warfare is. No matter how much worry you're fretting, amen, having to be out there for hours on end, don't matter if it's raining, don't matter what's going on. And praise God, that's what's going on, going to happen to us one of these days. Amen. You know what we're going to get? If we be faithful soldiers of the cross, amen, one day we're going to get a great promotion. Amen. That's what happens to good soldiers that endure the cross. They go through a lot of things. If we stay faithful to God and we keep seeking God and keep serving God. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 21, the Bible says he's come back from his trip and he's questioning the men that he gave the money. He gave some 10 and some 5, some 2. And he says, in Matthew 25, he said, his Lord said unto him, called that first one up, and he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. Now, you know what? I've never wanted to be a ruler, but I always want to be right with God. I want to be right with God because I know that I need Him every step of my journey through this life. And I thank you, Brother Roger, for allowing me to get up here and stumble around and try to preach the message that God gave me, but maybe it'll be a help to somebody. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Just stay faithful to God, and He'll take care of your thirsty soul. God bless you so much.
Let's just think about that for a minute. Let's bow our heads.